Just come to you today. We are thankful for your goodness and your grace. We're thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us to have health and strength to come here today. We thank you for everyone that's come out today. And Lord, we just pray now that as we study your word and that you would teach us those things you'd have us to know. Lord, we pray for these prayer requests, Lord. We pray for the family that lost a loved one. Lord, we just pray for your grace there. Only your grace is sufficient. And we just pray, Lord, for your grace there. We pray for Dennis's mom. Lord, we know you know how to heal. You can heal. And Lord, we just pray that you would touch her. You'd give the doctors the wisdom to know how to treat her. Lord, we pray for the young man, Lord, that you would be with him and his doctors as well. And Lord, just heal him and touch his body. We pray for Brother Peter's, Lord, and his house and the, what he's lost. And Lord, we just pray for your grace there as well. And Lord, for all those that are sick, that couldn't be here today, and other things, Lord, we just pray for them and that you would bring them back as soon as possible. Lord, we'll just give you praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just going to read one verse here and use it to as a jumping in point. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I want to talk today, and I'm going to put it on the board here, I want to talk about the gift of eternal life. And this really goes along with what Kevin was teaching this morning a lot, just on the really the other side of it. It says here in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this time of year, people think a lot about gifts. Kim and I spent all day yesterday thinking about gifts. And out in the crowd, you know, in the malls and whatnot. And so I thought, as we were doing that, this verse came to my mind. The gift of God is eternal life. And I want to look at this gift that we have and look at it through the lens of what we think of as gifts. A gift is usually, first off, a gift is something usually that is something that is either a need or a want. In other words, when you go out to look to give a gift, you're thinking of that person and you're thinking about what would they like to have, what do they need. You don't go looking for a gift thinking, well, do they already have an umbrella? Well, good, I'm going to get them another one. You don't do that. If they've got an umbrella, you don't get them an umbrella. You look to get them something that they need or something that they want. And so in this case, eternal life is something that we desperately needed as human beings. It's something that is something that we do not already have. Turn back to chapter 5 of Romans. In chapter 5, notice in verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Death passed upon all men. We had a need. We had, instead of having eternal life, we didn't have eternal life. We are born with eternal death because of sin. We read the verse in chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. All we have as when we're born into this world is death. There's no life there. Look over in 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back to Romans. Hold on to Romans 5. But look over in 1 Corinthians and look in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice verse, the context here is resurrection. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse, let's just start in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Why? Because we have death. All we have is death. If there's not eternal life, then there is no life. You understand, the life that you live now in Christ is eternal life. It's a gift that was given to you. If you haven't accepted this gift, then you don't have life. Your heart may be beating, but you don't have life. Notice, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even as in Christ shall all be made alive with this eternal life that we've been given. So we had a need. The first thing about a gift is the gift is something that is, there's a need there. And in our case, that need was we had sin and we had death. And there was no getting around that. Look back in chapter 5 of Romans. In chapter 5 of Romans. Let's go down to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, notice this, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance and of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Notice the gift. On one side you have the sin and the death. By one man sin entered into the world. On the other side you have the man Christ Jesus who offers a gift. There was a need there, and that need was eternal life. Now, that's not all that goes into a gift. It's not just having a need, but it's also something you think about. It's something that you plan. Notice in Titus. Turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1. Thought goes into a gift. What size do they wear if you're getting them clothes? If you're getting them some sort of music or something, what kind of music do they like? There's thought that goes into the gift of what it is, of eternal life. And this was the case. Notice in Titus chapter 1. Notice verse 1. We'll just start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. There's the gift, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, in hope of eternal life, which God promised, that cannot lie. You see, the gift was planned, and this was the Father's plan. The Father's plan was this gift of eternal life. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. You know, all this, the world now is all about Christmas, and they all want to talk about that baby in a manger, and that's fine and that's good. He had to be born into this world in order for Him to die for us. But the man, Christ Jesus, died. And this was the plan. Notice in John, turn to John and look in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. Verse 1. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. There's eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou hast gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. You see, way back in eternity past, the Son was with the Father, and He had the glory there, and was in that glory. And there was a promise made of eternal life. And Jesus Christ, that this plan to give eternal life to you and me, we had no way to get it. God knew that we couldn't save ourselves. God knew that there was no way within ourselves that we could have eternal life. So He planned to send His Son into the world and promised eternal life. And that a few weeks ago, may have been last week, Dad talked about the faith of Christ. And all that He went through. And that this was the plan. And it was planned way back before you were ever even thought of. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This gift was not just a last minute Christmas shopping gift. It's not where you run down on Christmas Eve and looking for what's left over. This was planned. You were planned. Your eternal life was planned way before there was even this world. Notice the wisdom here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This was something that a wisdom that God ordained before the world. What? Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, it all hinged on the fact that Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross and He was going to die. He was going to face that death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid that wage so that we might be able to have eternal life. That was the plan. It was planned. And then after you plan and after you figure out what you're going to get, the next step, number three, is the gift must be purchased. And the son did the purchasing. Turn over to turn to Acts chapter 20. Turn to Acts chapter 20. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord purchased this gift for us, this gift of eternal life. In Acts chapter 20, notice verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He purchased this gift of eternal life. He had to pay. There was a payment that had to be made. That payment was death. I'm not just talking about the death that causes your heart to stop beating. Of course, he faced the physical side of death. He faced the pain of the cross. He faced the misery. He faced the shame. He faced all of that on the cross. And then he faced death. The pains of death. The horrors of death. He died, and he died in sin. And I'm going to read it. We quote it a lot, but look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice verse 18. We'll just start there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that would be God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin. He took the wages of sin. He took the sting of death. Kevin read the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. I think through Jesus Christ our Lord, he's given us the victory. You see, he took that away. If you're saved today, if you've received this gift of eternal life, you won't face death. Now, I'm not telling you your heart's not going to stop. That's not death for someone who's saved. That's just a passing. That's just a transfer. As Kevin said, your soul just leaves and goes somewhere else. There is no death for someone who's saved. There is no death. There is no sting. There is no pain. Jesus Christ paid it. He paid it. There is no death. There is no sin. We have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, then there is no death. He purchased it. He paid for it. So you have a gift. You figure out what the need is. You get a plan. You figure out what you're going to get, where you're going to get it. You get it all the details worked out. You go to the store, you purchase it. He purchased our eternal life. Then the next step. Number four. The gift is presented. Now, don't be like Kim does sometimes. Pick on Kim. Don't be like, and I'm sure y'all probably done it too. You go buy a gift, you plan it, you get it, you purchase it, and you stick it up in the closet. And then about February, you find it. Oh, I forgot to give them that gift. Right? Now, nobody's done that for Kim in here, I'm sure. No, what do you do after you purchase it, after you've got it? You present it. You give it. You offer it. You see, the gift of eternal life is presented. And I want to use, in this one, the Father is involved with the planning. The Son is involved in the purchasing. And then the Holy Spirit is involved in the presenting of this gift. Look over in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, remember it's from the plan now, God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So notice the Spirit there. Whereunto He, the Spirit, called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called you. He calls people. He presents. The Holy Spirit presents this gift through the gospel. How do people know? How are people going to receive? How do people know they have this gift offered to them? It comes through preaching. The Holy Spirit uses preaching to present the gospel and to convict people and to show them that they have a need and that it has been planned and that it has been purchased and now it is offered for them and is presented to them through this preaching. The Holy Spirit does that. Look in John. Turn back to John and look in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You see, the Holy Spirit today, what is His part in this gift of eternal life? His gift is to show, to present this. He shows you that you're lost. He shows you that you're a sinner. Through the Word of God, He shows you and allows you to hear the gospel. And that gospel draws people. It calls people to eternal life. Every time you hear the gospel preached, it is a call. It is as if God is holding out that present, that gift of eternal life to be offered to whosoever will take it and receive it. Notice in chapter 6, turn back to chapter 6 of John. Chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The drawing there. You know, Paul said that I'm a pattern to them that shall hereafter believe on me for life everlasting. In other words, Paul was in me first, Jesus Christ showed forth all longsuffering for a pattern. So we can look at Paul's salvation. And one of the things that's interesting in Paul's salvation in Acts chapter 9 is the Lord asked, Lord said, "Why, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The pricks, that pricking of your heart. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that those people that were preached to, they were pricked in their heart. You see, there's something about the gospel being preached that causes that conviction, that causes that person to see themselves as who they really are, that they're lost, and that this gift of eternal life is being offered because Jesus Christ died for them on the cross, and He paid that price. And the Holy Spirit draws people and calls them by this gospel. It's through preaching. Look in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I know we're looking at a lot of scripture today, but that's why we come here, you know. If you want to leave your Bible at home, you might want to go somewhere else to church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice in verse 21. Remember, we talked about in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we looked at the wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom. Notice what it says here in chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching of the gospel draws people. It calls people. This gift is presented every time the gospel is preached. That is why it is so important that we continually preach the gospel here at Charity. Is because we don't know who's here and who's coming in and who needs to hear it. We need to bring people here so that they can hear this gospel, so that it can be presented unto them. Without any frills, without any extra, it's just the gospel. It's just that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and it was buried, and He rose again, and you can have eternal life if you just receive it. You just receive it. Which just brings me to the last point here, number 5. The gift must be received. You plan a gift, you purchase the gift, you present the gift, but at that point in time, that's all you can do. From that point on, it is up to the person to either receive it or not. You can hand it to them, you can hold it out and present it to them, and that person can take that gift and accept it and claim it as theirs, or they can say, "Don't need it, I don't want your gift." Do you realize that's what people do when they reject the gospel? When every time they reject the gospel, it's offered right there to them, and they say, "Nah, I already got an umbrella. I don't need another one." Do they really? No. You don't have eternal life unless you've trusted and received this gift. And Paul says to examine yourself to see that you be in the faith. You need to look through the closet of your life and see if you have eternal life in there. And if you don't, it's offered to you right now to receive it as your own. Just as you would receive a gift at Christmas time. It's the same concept. You just receive it. You just receive it. Look in 1 Corinthians. We're already there. Turn over to chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm about done. So don't be going telling y'all going to get out early or anything. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That's how he calls, that's how it's presented, right? I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and there wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice the receiving. When did you receive this gift? When did you accept it as your own? When did you claim that eternal life that has been offered to you? If you've not done that, or if you're just not sure you've ever done that, why don't you just receive it right now? It's right here in front of you. All you do is receive it. You claim it. This is mine. This was a gift that Jesus Christ paid for me and gave to me. And receive it. Receive it. Look in 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to finish up here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's going to be a time coming in the future when this gift will no longer be offered to you. 34-year-old man dies of a heart attack. He probably woke up that morning. He didn't know that. He didn't think about that. That wasn't on his thoughts. We need to pray for his wife. We need to pray for his family. That's a terrible loss. But that just shows you there's no guarantee that you will ever get to hear this gospel message again. There's never no guarantee that you'll ever be presented this gift again. The Lord may return and take those of us who are saved out of here. If that's the case, you will never get another opportunity to receive. Notice what Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That would be us, the church, the body of Christ. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in transgression, in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they may be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all should be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Believe not the truth. Receive not the truth. Receive it now, while you can. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be. This gift is offered. You receive it. You have an opportunity to do that. Those of you who are in here who are saved, you've been given the greatest gift. You've been given eternal life. Jesus Christ purchased your salvation. It was planned before the foundation of the world. People, the Holy Spirit used people to preach the gospel to you so that you could believe it. And we oftentimes take this gift of eternal life and we put it on a shelf somewhere and we never even think about it. We don't thank the Lord for it. We should thank the Lord. There shouldn't be a day goes by that we are not at some point in that day thanking the Lord for this gift that He's given us. It should be something that you think about every day because it was a great purchase. It was a hard price to pay. Salvation for us is free. It's a free gift. If we have to work for it, it's not a gift. It's a payment, but it's a gift. If you've not received it, receive it today. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you're not sure that you have eternal life, that you're not sure you've ever received this gift, just call upon Him. Receive it as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this gift. Lord, we're unworthy. Lord, there was nothing ever that we could ever do in our flesh to ever merit eternal life. Lord, and we just praise You and thank You that You saw fit to look through time and know that we would need this. You purchased it. You presented it to us. And Lord, we just thank You and we praise You. We just pray that we will not ever take that for granted, and that we'll always be thankful for that. Lord, we pray that if there be any here today who's never trusted, they've never received this gift, Lord, it's been presented to them, and I just pray the Holy Spirit would convict them. We pray that they would just simply trust and simply just receive and claim this gift of salvation that You've given to them. Lord, we'll give You praise and we'll give You glory and honor in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be